This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. It's that time of year when you start thinking about those 2014 vacation plans. And there's nobody better to go to with those plans than the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. Give them a try. You will not be disappointed. Go visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or you can click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
This is Jennifer from the Those Darn Cats podcast, and I listen to Mickey Miles.
This is the Mickey Miles podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 130 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show, as always, is my co-host, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. And Michelle, we are less than 1 month from the Walt Disney World 2014 Marathon weekend.
What? This is the first I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you going to be there, Mike?
Yes, but I'm not dopey.
Oh, okay. I will be there. So, Mike, we have first a shout out and then a whole pile of announcements. You ready?
Take it away.
Fasten your seatbelts. Well, you're going to love this first shout out because these are two of our dear friends who are on the show for Valentine's Day. And they got engaged after Goofy last year, and they are Andy Jackson and his new wife, Bonnie Jackson. They just got married last week, so huge shout-out for them. Lovely, lovely people. They just are so in love with each other that little hearts float all around every time they're together. So they're just great, nice, nice people, huge supporters of the podcast, and just can't say enough. We wish you the best of luck and a happy, happy life.
We would have loved to have been at the wedding, but there was something called reunion that just sort of got in the way, I guess.
So Mike chose Dole Whip over hanging out with you guys. But
Dole Whip over our wedding champagne.
So, and then we have some announcements too. We have a meet scheduled for marathon weekend, and that's going to be at the Beach Club Solarium on Friday, January 10th at 4 p.m. And we have our helper buddies organizing this for us, Eddie McCoy and our show notes guy, Rich Gehring. They're putting it together, but Mike and I will show up and say hello too, but they're organizing it. And then Eddie is going to be at Tinkerbell a week later on Saturday, January 18th, and he's having a Mickey Miles podcast meet, and that is going to be at the Hearthstone Lounge at the Grand Californian. And we just found out our friend Kimberly Torres Markey is going to be there too. And Mike?
We also want to mention that the post-5K brunch that we are hosting at Ariel's at the Beach and Yacht Club has been sold out, but we want to encourage those who would like to go to at least sign up for the waiting list, because you never know. We will be trying to get more space, and there may also be cancellations. So please, if you still are interested in attending that special Mickey Miles podcast event, we encourage you to do so.
And Mike, we have a special announcement during that brunch, right?
Oh, we have a couple of things we're going to talk about. Yes.
So we'll spread the word after the brunch, but we have some breaking news, so it should be exciting.
Yep. And we're also excited because this show marks a very important milestone in the history of Mickey Miles Podcast, because during this week, which we are calling Inspirational Week, we are going international, because we have our first – I think we have our first international guest, Michelle Dewey. Is this first one?
Let's just say he is.
He's among the first, yes. And so we are pleased to welcome from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, Tim Sullivan. Tim, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. I didn't have to go very far. I'm still sitting in my home, but it's great to be here.
Ah, the magic of Skype. Michelle, would you like to introduce – let me see. I got to stop this over again. Oh, I got to do this. Okay. Let me start. So Tim is with us on this, our inspirational week, because like our guest on Tuesday's show, Kim Torres-Markey, Tim has a challenge that he is dealing with in his running adventures, and we thought it would be very worthwhile to have Kim come on Tuesday and have Tim with us, Kim and Tim, to talk about how he deals with his challenge. So, Tim, would you like to explain to our audience what your challenge is?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, I am severely visually impaired. You could basically say it's blind. I still have some central vision. I have a visual condition called retinitis pigmentosa, and basically it affects the rods and cones in my eye. Basically, they pigment, the ends of them basically break off, and I lose vision in them. I've had it ever since I was born. It's something that hereditary I got from my mom, something that progressively gets worse over time. So, you know, I've got about 5% of the visual field of what a regular person has. It's basically tunnel blindness. With a wonderful sidekick of also being night blind as well. So, you know, if you tend to look at your smartphone screen or if you're gazing at a friend in front of you, if you look at someone's right eye, I can't see their nose. That's sort of how restrictive my field of vision is. So that's sort of the fun that is my life.
Wow. So so you're a runner. And can you tell us a little bit about how you became a runner and why? Let me say that again. So can you tell us a little bit about your running career and how you started running?
Yeah, I've been running almost 2 years now. I decided a couple years ago I wanted to make a life change. I've got two young daughters and wanted to make sure I'm setting a good example for them, that sort of thing. So I decided to change eating habits, and that's where maybe get healthier. And I realized that you never see fat people running. So I decided that's something I wanted to incorporate in my life. It's something that I've done before off and on. I played football in high school and university. And so it's something that I had experience with, but I'd never really, done it as a hobby per se. So I decided that I was going to start doing that. And, that sort of has transformed, what my life has become. So it's been, I've lost about 110 pounds ish over the past year and a half. And, I've now decided that running ultra, not ultra marathons, but running ultra long distances is something that seems like a good idea.
That's, oh, so you've lost 110 pounds?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So inspirational in many ways. So is running outside very tricky for you? I would imagine it is. I saw your blog and you have some beautiful pictures of where you run. Do you run on your own, outside alone?
Yeah. I usually run by myself most times. Running has its challenges for anybody. For me, it's I run and walk into things all the time. So that's a challenge that I have is sort of picking the right spots to run. So I tend to run a lot of trails. I'm lucky enough to have a walking path that allows me to get about 8 kilometers in without having to really deal with much roads or traffic that way. So it's a lot of picking the right route choices. Unfortunately for me, one of the big limitations I have is because I'm night blind, running at night. I know that Mike's a big running in the dark fan. Or maybe not fan, but out of necessity, perhaps something that I can't really do for safety because I can't see. I can see light. I can see light sources, but it's really not all that safe for me to go out when it's dark. So that sort of picking and choosing my times is really key. I still run into things all the time. Those posts that they usually put up in trails to keep motorized vehicles off of paths. Those are the bane of my existence. Those and dog leashes. Just because it's really hard for me to see those sort of things. So I'm always really cautious when I'm sort of entering on a new path to make sure that I can see a post and make sure I'm not going to run into it. Doesn't always happen, but I get them 99% of the time.
So Tim, sticking with the safety, component of this, what measures do you take to be as safe as possible when you do run and train?
Yeah, I mean that's a great question as well. One thing I do a lot because I don't see people, but it's really tough for someone to tell that that I have any sort of visual impairment, I make sure that I stick to bright colors. So I try to wear blues and reds and whites and that sort of thing. As much as there's a lot of really great looking dark running wear that's out there, I like to make myself as visible as possible because I'm not going to see a lot of what's out there. I also don't blindly run across the road, no pun intended. I usually try to stick to crosswalks and actually, I'll pause my Garmin watch to make sure that I'm crossing with traffic so that there's not going to be a car that I'm not going to see that's not going to see me as well. Just stuff like that. Just common sense things. Like I said, always running during the daylight. I've contemplated starting to make a little blind runner sign so that if there are someone on a bike or someone that are on the trails or anything that I'm running on, just so more people are aware that I don't see as well as it appears that I do. Just things like that, minor things like that. I'm contemplating possibly hooking up with a local running club as well to possibly look into a guide runner because of my ambitions with running over the next couple of years are going to be getting pretty great. So I think it might be a good idea if I paired up with someone so that I have someone to lean on for assistance and support.
That was going to be my next question. I have heard from visually impaired runners who, and I have seen them in many races, running with a monitor or a guide. And I was going to ask you so it sounds like you run by yourself and you don't have any guides or monitors with you.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I wouldn't say stubborn is probably a bad way to put it, but I don't like to sort of let things be an impediment to if I want to do something, I do it. I mean, I also ride a bike. I used to mountain bike, but I realized I was hitting more trees than I wasn't. So I've sort of stopped doing that. I've sort of stick to roads, but if I want to do something, I go and do it. And unfortunately with my work schedule, it's kind of off normal for what a lot of other people work. So trying to find, someone that's going to go out. My weekend is usually a Monday, Tuesday. It's a little harder to find someone who has the same weekend. So trying to find like a running buddy that can do long runs is difficult. So I just sort of go out and do it. But I think that's one of my goals sort of going forward.
So what would your running buddy help you do? What sort of things would a guide runner help you to do?
Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
I should also mention too that there's a group that I've sort of hooked onto when I started really getting serious into running, and the group is called Achilles. They're an international organization. They're actually headquartered out of New York. They've got a chapter here in Canada, and there's a chapter pretty much anywhere that's out there. So if there is anyone that is that is disabled, not just visually, but if it's a physical or any sort of mental disability, I encourage them to look for either contact Achilles in New York or look if you've got a national chapter, because they are phenomenal in breaking down barriers for people with disabilities to be able to enjoy the sport of running. And whether it's just wanting to get out for a weekly run once a week or if you want to get competitive and running in marathons, there's a great level of support there. And I'm sure if I wanted a guide runner, I could just talk to the president that's here in Canada and say, hey, is there someone in the area that wouldn't mind helping me out? And they'd have someone there for me immediately. So that's something for sure. If anyone, like I said before, whatever the disability, by all means, look for Achilles because they're phenomenal. There is some financial support they offer as well. If people need that sort of help, it's there so they can make sure that people can get out and get active.
So they would tell you that there's a pothole coming, or they would kind of steer you in the right direction. I mean, it looks to me like you were doing a lot of trail running, so they would kind of just make sure that you saw things up ahead that you couldn't see. Is that what a guide runner would do?
Yeah, generally with guide runners, depending on the severity of a visual disability, they completely blind runners usually run with a tether, which is usually a short rope that is held by both the guide and the actual blind athlete themselves, so that you can sort of feel the tether. You get used to the tension that's there, so that you can feel if your guide is pulling on the tether, you know you're maybe turning to the left. If the tether's going a little slack, maybe you need to go to the right. There's a lot of audio cues, like you said, you know, curb coming up, careful, there's a pothole, crack in the road, person with a dog coming up ahead. There's a lot of that would happen as well. And then the tether also helps to give non-verbal clues as to what's possibly happening. It's sort of, if you've ever seen anyone leading someone that's blind, how, you know, most blind people will take an mm-hmm. elbow. That's sort of a more flexible version of taking an elbow, because, I mean, mm-hmm. I can imagine, you know, if you're trying to run and swinging your arms properly, having someone grabbing your elbow, not so convenient for both the grabber as well as the grabbee. So that's sort of that tether helps there. And but if, for myself, I think at this point it would be just having someone there for verbal cues to let me know, hey, you know, we've got a pack of runners that we're coming up on,
right,
or
right.
You know, water stop coming up. That sort of thing is what I would use a guide runner for. I think I've never had one, so it sounds like it's something that I'm going to be using coming up, though. So
Tim, the 2014 Walt Disney World Marathon weekend is coming up, and I don't recall, is this the first Run Disney event you'll be running in?
It's actually the first event I'll be running in. I figured, you know, if I'm going to be running my first distance event, what better place to sort of kick off my long distance running career than doing it at Walt Disney World? I mean, one of my, you know, the happiest place on earth. How bad could it be?
Wow.
So it's going to be my first, well, technically my first running event that I've been entered into. I managed to stumble my way into a local marathon that was being run here in Hamilton early in November. I ran their course for part of it. It was as part of one of my training runs. But this will be my first official race, and I figured, hey, if I'm going to go, you know, why not go big or go home? Unfortunately, I don't have the time investment to do Dopey. The Goofy was the silliest thing you could do when I was planning it, and then Disney decides to go one step sillier. But so I'm actually doing the Goofy, so I'm set up for both the half on the Saturday and the full on the Sunday.
You don't have to make it sound like the Goofy means you're slacking off that day.
Well,
that's still pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is, but you know, it just the bloom on the rose just seems to be a little bit not quite as spectacular when I realize there's other people that are going to be doing something just that much more crazier than what I am.
Tim,
I mean, don't get me wrong,
Tim. There are many more races, or you'll have many a chance to be Dopey.
Yeah, I already have people trying to talk me into 2015, so we'll see what happens.
So, what would be helpful to you in terms of accommodations for the doing the Goofy? Like, what sort of things do you anticipate might be issues when you're running with 26,000 of your closest running buddies?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's kind of nice that I did have that slight experience running part of a marathon with some other people in November. It got me sort of a taste of what it's like and what might work for me. I've had some preliminary contacts with Run Disney that they're hopefully going to be able to accommodate me with some things. And the one thing that they're hopefully going to get me is a guide runner, so it'll sort of be my first experience. I'm not so concerned, maybe I should be, but not so concerned with like the later stages of the race when the sun is up and it's bright and shining. With, you know, traffic in the course and seeing my route, I've been watching a lot of videos on YouTube of people that have done the race before, so I can get an idea of what the race course sort of looks like, and so what I can expect. But there, you know, hopefully, you know, the guide runner will be there, so that more so in the dark part, you know, for the first hour or two of the race, however long it takes for the sun to decide to come up, that's sort of they're going to have a guide runner there for me that way. I'm also I'm waiting for confirmation for Run Disney as well. I know a lot of the other bigger marathons like Boston and New York, they've got special corral placement for athletes with disabilities that can start them in a specific spot. So that the other concern I have is again, because I have my visual impairment, you know, starting in the back with a lot of walk runners, I don't actually walk run myself. I start and I don't stop until I don't start walking until sort of I'm done my run. So my concern as well is if I'm running and then get behind a walk like a run walker that's starting one of their walk intervals, and I haven't noticed their walk interval, that I'm a little concerned with collision and safety with my fellow runners. Never mind, I'm a big guy. I bounce out. I'm like a bumble. I bounce really well. I'm just concerned with, you know, and another runner, and I'd hate to have, you know, ruin someone else's run experience, just, you know, because I didn't see them well enough. luckily, again, that's one of the nice things being in that sort of the marathon I was in November. I sort of saw how the run walkers sort of ran, and you know I think it's going to be okay, but we'll you know, only time will tell. I'll find out in 28 days.
Well, you know, I'm thinking too, just even walking down to the corrals, it's very dark walking down to the corrals, and it's about a mile walk. So
yeah,
definitely it would be good to have some help just to get into the corrals. Those seem like reasonable accommodations.
Yeah, and you know, it's nothing that I think is too crazy. I'm not expecting to toe the line with, you know, the elite runners or anything like that, of course. But you know, just to make sure that you know, with that, I'm, you know, lined up with people that are around the same base. And unfortunately, because I've never run a race before, I didn't have a proof of time to submit to sort of get placed with people of same speed. So I don't think it'll be a big deal. You know, Disney's really good at making sure that people are accommodated well enough, and so I don't think it's going to be a big deal. We'll find out in 28 days.
So Tim, I'm really curious regarding your training, and especially if you've done any training on a treadmill. Could you walk us through, for instance, what you will be doing this week for training? I'm really curious.
Yeah, for sure. I have run on a treadmill before. That's sort of one of my 2014 investments, is to get myself a decent treadmill, because, yeah, as I mentioned before, with brightness, you know, with it being light outside, is really the only time I can run. We just got a foot of snow yesterday, so I was supposed to do my last big goofy training, you know, running. I was going to supposed to run 16 kilometers today, and then probably about 34 tomorrow. That sort of pushed things back a day. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to get out tomorrow and Tuesday to do that. I haven't done a whole lot of stuff with treadmill. I mean, I enjoy treadmills in that they're there. I'm not really good at them yet because I haven't run them a lot, and it's hard because I can't see how far I am from the console. I'm always sort of really paranoid that I'm too far, so I'm always holding on to the bar as I run. I'm hoping once I get a treadmill and I become comfortable with it, and I become sort of, you know, I know the feeling of where I am on the treadmill, I'm hoping that'll sort of pass. But my general training is, again, because I'm doing the goofy, it's been basically my Sunday, Monday have been back-to-back runs, where I usually tend to be, you know, the Monday is twice as long as the Sunday, and then I also run Wednesdays and Fridays, and I take the days in between off just for recovery, and I might walk to work every now and then or that sort of thing, just to get a little bit more exercise. But and then, you know, the betweens have been, yeah, either a mixture of, you know, tempo runs, just making sure that I can do that, and then some intervals to boost speed and that sort of thing.
Well, I'm not a big treadmill fan, but we had a foot of snow here too, and I think I'll be doing my training on a treadmill. And I would just tell you that for me, it was really hard to learn to run on a treadmill, and I can see the controls. I think once you get your cadence and you know what speed you're running at, you're just going at your cadence. So I wouldn't give up on it.
Yeah,
even
absolutely.
Though it's not ideal. So Tim, you know, I think this is really inspirational, because it sounds like it'd be really easy just to say, you know, I'm not going to do this, because there are some things that you've had to overcome to run, and it's clear how much you love it already. What advice would you give to others who have obstacles like this to overcome, who want to get out there and run, who might be sight impaired?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is just do it. I mean, you're never going to know if you can or if you can't until you do. I think the funniest question that I usually get, and I don't find it insulting at all, but whether it's running or whether it's mountain biking, I mean, I play soccer or try to play soccer, you know, all those sports, you know, the common question I get is, how do you insert activity here when you're blind? And I'm, you know, I usually have the smart aleck answer where, well, you know, running, I take my left foot and then I put it forward and then I take my right foot in front of that and I just do that quickly. And people, all right, but how do you do it? And the thing is it's no different than the way you guys, you know, do your running. I have a few more obstacles in the way, perhaps, but I mean, it's nothing that should stop me. I mean, just because I have some extra hoops to have to jump through doesn't mean that I can't enjoy things any more or any less. And really, I think in my case, I enjoy it even more, because it could be easy for me to just sit at home going, you know, I've got, you know, there's I'm blind. I can't run. I can't, you know, I can't do this. I can't do the things I enjoy. I'll just sit at home and dream about what it could be. I mean, that's a bunch of crap. I mean, just get out there and do it. And it's like anything, whether it's running or, like I said, I lost some weight, and it's just, I'm just deciding that the only person keeping me from doing it is me. I mean, I'm lucky that I have a wife who is absolutely amazing and wonderfully supportive of all the running I do, and doesn't mind me being gone for 3 or 4 hours at a time for a long run, doesn't mind picking me up if I'm tired and want to switch my route up and running loops from home and back to home again get kind of boring. So, you know, some of those runs that you've seen on my blog, Michelle, you know, she'll pick me up at the end of my, 32 kilometers, so that I don't have to try to do the same loop over and over again, because I can't drive to an interesting run. I've got to sort of plan accordingly, but just do it. I mean, it's I might be stealing the slogan from a shoe company, but I mean, it works.
That's great. Thank you.
Well, you know, Tim, it's kind of interesting that earlier in the week we had Kim Torres-Markey on and talked about her challenges and what motivates her, and we've asked you, and you've been very forthright in telling us. And both of you have the same. You both of you seem to start off with the same thing, and that is, I need to show my children not to give up. I need to show my children. I need to set an example. So I just want to commend you, and we wish you the best of luck, and we hope to see you at Walt Disney World Marathon weekend.
I hope to see you guys as well. The Friday meetup sounds like it would be a good thing to go.
We would love to see you there. That'd be great.
And thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
So for Tim Sullivan, our international guest, and for Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and your new year will be very happy if you let the vacation planners at MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel give you the opportunity to see what they can do for you. Have them plan at least one of your vacations in 2014. Actually, if you have them plan your first, I think you'll have them plan all of them, because they are the best in the business. So visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or you can click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at Facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.